Imagine for a second that you just bought a brand new luxury car. You bring it home, it's gleaming in the driveway. And to wash it, you grab a bucket of highly reactive industrial chemicals, a rough Brillo pad, and just start scrubbing away at the clear coat.
I mean, that sounds completely unhinged.
Right, you would never do that to a vehicle. But the wild reality is that millions of us are doing the exact equivalent of that to something just as expensive right inside our own homes.
Yeah, it's honestly painful to watch.
Exactly. I'm talking about hardwood floors. Today, we are taking a deep dive into mastering the art of cleaning hardwood floors, specifically tailored for the unique challenges of homes in the Greater Toronto Area.
Which is such a tricky environment for wood.
It really is. We are going to figure out how to get them perfectly clean without leaving those maddening cloudy streaks, and more importantly, without causing long-term invisible damage.
It is genuinely one of the most misunderstood areas of home maintenance. People will spend tens of thousands of dollars installing these spectacular, intricately milled floors.
Yeah,
and then
just ruin them.
Yeah, they inadvertently destroy them over a couple of years by following viral internet cleaning hacks. Hacks that, frankly, fundamentally misunderstand the chemistry of wood and modern finishes.
Our mission for you today is to provide a shortcut to being truly well-informed about the ground you literally walk on every single day.
We really want to help you protect that investment.
Exactly. We are going to protect one of your biggest investments by unpacking the surprisingly precise science of hardwood maintenance and figuring out why so much common advice is dead wrong. Okay, let's unpack this, because before we can even begin to talk about the physical act of cleaning, we have to understand the battlefield.
Right.
And in the GTA, that battlefield is exceptionally intense.
If we connect this to the bigger picture,
yeah,
we have to recognize that wood, even when it's cut, kiln-dried, milled, and nailed down in the living room, isn't just a static, dead surface.
It's not like a slab of poured concrete.
Exactly. It remains a deeply hygroscopic material. At a cellular level, wood is composed of microscopic tubes, the xylem and phloem, that used to transport water and nutrients up the trunk of the living tree.
Oh, wow. So those structures are still intact.
They are. Even as flooring, those tiny cellular straws are still desperately trying to absorb and release moisture in equilibrium with the air around them.
Which makes the GTA environment a massive stress test for your house. I mean, in February, you have these deeply heated, bone-dry winters where your furnace is blasting.
Yeah, and the indoor humidity plummets to maybe 20%.
Right. So those cellulose straws shrink, the wood contracts, and you get gaps between the boards.
And then we swing wildly into July.
Yeah, July is intensely air-conditioned, but the ambient outdoor humidity is pushing 80%. So every time you open the door, that sticky summer air rushes in, the wood drinks it up, and the boards expand and press against each other.
It's a constant dramatic cycle of expansion and contraction. Add to that the physical threats unique to a major urban area with a harsh winter.
You mean it like the road salt?
The jagged road salt, the sharp grit tracked in from the sidewalks, the daily friction from shoes, pets, dropped items. I mean, the floor is taking a severe mechanical and chemical beating every single day.
Because it is practically a living, breathing thing, constantly reacting to the climate, treating it like a slab of concrete is a recipe for disaster.
Totally. It requires a highly specific baseline environment just to survive.
Right. If we feed it the wrong chemicals or subjected to the wrong moisture levels, those cellular structures just begin to break down.
Which means you cannot simply grab a universal bottle of, you know, brightly colored floor cleaner off the supermarket shelf and assume it's safe.
Yeah, we have to diagnose exactly what type of armor the floor is wearing before a single drop of liquid touches it.
The diagnosis phase is the critical first step. You cannot apply a cleaning methodology without knowing the finish.
So how do we figure that out?
Well, the timeline rule of thumb for the Toronto area is incredibly helpful here. If you're living in a GTA home built or heavily renovated after the mid-1990s, the odds are heavily in your favor that your floors feature a polyurethane or an aluminum oxide finish.
To break down what that actually means, polyurethane isn't just a polish, right?
No, not at all. It's an exothermic chemical reaction that cures into a solid, highly durable polymer sheet.
It's essentially a layer of transparent liquid plastic that hardens over the wood.
Exactly. And aluminum oxide finishes, which are really common on pre-finished engineered boards, actually embed microscopic ceramic particles into that polymer layer for extreme scratch resistance.
Oh, wow. Both of those mean the floor is completely sealed.
Right. The protective barrier is sitting entirely on top of the wood. But If you're in an older property, perhaps a century home in the downtown core or an unrenovated mid-century build, those floors might still have original oil or penetrating wax finishes.
And those are considered unsealed.
Correct. The protection isn't a plastic sheet sitting on top. The oils have actually absorbed down into the porous fibers of the wood itself to repel water from within.
Okay, so if you are renting or just bought a flipped house and have no idea what the history of the floor is, you need a way to test it.
Yes, the classic diagnostic tool is the water bead test.
You find an inconspicuous corner, maybe behind a sofa, and place a single tiny drop of water onto the floor.
Just a tiny drop. If that water beads up tightly, maintaining a high surface tension like rain on a freshly waxed car windshield, your floor is sealed with a polymer.
And if it doesn't?
If the drop flattens out, absorbs into the wood, and leaves a temporary dark spot, it is unsealed or oil finished.
That single bead of water basically dictates your entire strategy.
It does. Because applying the wrong method to an unsealed floor will fundamentally compromise its structural integrity.
Okay, I want to push back on this a little bit, though. Let's look at the reality of a lived-in home. Even if a floor is technically sealed with polyurethane, if it has been lived on for 15 or 20 years, aren't there microscopic scratches everywhere?
Sure, from chairs, dog claws, drop keys.
Right. Won't that protective plastic layer be compromised anyway? If I just guess and mop it with a heavy bucket of water, isn't water getting into those micro scratches regardless of the finish?
That's a highly logical assumption, but it actually comes down to the physics of water and surface tension.
How so?
Well, water molecules are incredibly cohesive. They want to stick to each other.
Yeah.
Unless water is forced under pressure, a single drop or a light mist isn't going to easily penetrate a microscopic hairline scratch in a polymer clear coat.
Oh, I see.
However, if you take a soaking wet strain mop to that same floor, you are creating a massive volume of standing water.
And that changes the physics.
Exactly. The sheer weight and volume of that water will eventually find its way through those microscopic abrasions, or more commonly, it'll seep down into the physical seams between the individual floorboards where the seal is naturally weakest.
And once that volume of water bypasses the polyurethane and hits the raw cellulose underneath?
The wood drinks it up like a sponge.
Yikes.
Yeah, the water gets trapped beneath the plastic finish with nowhere to evaporate. This leads to severe swelling. The edges of the boards will start to curl upward, which we call cupping. And eventually, you invite fungal growth. You get rot from the inside out.
Wow. So the diagnosis is absolutely non-negotiable. Knowing your finish is step one.
100%.
Assuming we are dealing with a modern, sealed polyurethane finish, which applies to the vast majority of you listening, we need to talk about what actually touches that plastic layer. Let's clear the battlefield by looking at the most common virally shared cleaning hacks.
Oh boy.
Yeah, let's examine the chemistry of why they are actively destroying floors.
The internet has popularized some truly catastrophic advice for hardwood.
Number one on that list, heavily promoted by lifestyle blogs, is vinegar.
Oh, it's everywhere.
The standard advice is to mix a splash of white vinegar with warm water for a natural, non-toxic clean. But when you look at the chemical composition, white vinegar is a dilute acetic acid.
It is roughly 5% acetic acid. And, you know, while that acidity makes it a brilliant solvent for descaling mineral buildup in a coffee maker.
Or cutting through hard water stains on glass.
Right. But applying an acid to a polyurethane polymer finish initiates a slow, irreversible chemical breakdown.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Using vinegar on your sealed hardwood floor is the chemical equivalent of using a harsh exfoliating acid peel on your face every single day.
That's a great way to put it.
The first couple of times you do it, the floor might actually look incredibly squeaky clean because the acid has stripped away all the surface oils. But on a molecular level, the acetic acid is breaking the cross-linking bonds of the polyurethane. It micro-etches the surface.
That micro-etching is exactly why floors cleaned with vinegar slowly lose their light-reflecting properties.
They just get dull.
They begin to look permanently dull and cloudy. You're physically dissolving your floor's armor. Over time, the finish becomes brittle, flakes away, and leaves the raw wood completely exposed to the elements.
And if vinegar is a slow, agonizing death for a finish, utilizing heavy alkaline cleaners like bleach or ammonia is an immediate execution.
Oh, absolutely.
Bleach will utterly destroy the cellular structure. It chemically alters the natural tannins present in woods like red oak or walnut, causing severe blotchy discoloration that cannot be sanded out.
You're permanently bleaching the DNA of the wood.
Exactly. So no acidic cleaners, no heavy alkalines.
Just stick to neutrals.
That brings us to the tools. I see steam mops marketed aggressively as the ultimate sanitizing deep cleaner.
Got the steam mops.
The marketing logic is that it's just pure water, no harsh chemicals, so it must be safe. But mechanically, taking high-velocity gas and blasting it into wood seems like a thermodynamic nightmare.
It is a nightmare. Even on perfectly sealed, brand-new floors, steam mops are universally condemned by major flooring manufacturers.
Wait, really? Universally?
Yes. To create steam, you're heating water past 212 degrees Fahrenheit and forcing it out under pressure. When you drive high-temperature, pressurized vapor onto a floor, that moisture easily bypasses the surface tension we talked about earlier.
Oh, because it's pressurized gas.
Exactly. It penetrates the microscopic seams between the boards instantly.
And a lot of modern GTA condos use engineered hardwood, which isn't solid wood. It's a veneer of real wood glued to layers of high-density plywood.
Precisely. And what happens to industrial adhesives when they are repeatedly subjected to intense heat and moisture?
They melt.
They delaminate. The glues melt and fail. The layers of the engineered board separate, bubble and warp. You're effectively boiling the glue out of your floor.
Okay, so steam mops are banished to ceramic tile duty only. What about the classic Murphy's Oil Soap? This is a product with massive brand loyalty. It smells incredible, like nostalgia and a clean house.
It does smell great. And for an unsealed, raw, or oil-rubbed floor, like those Century Homes we mentioned, a specialized oil soap is fantastic.
Because raw wood needs it.
Right. Raw wood requires lipid nourishment to prevent it from drying out and cracking. But applying an oil-based soap to a modern, sealed polyurethane floor makes absolutely no chemical sense.
Because it's a lipid, and polyurethane is essentially a plastic sheet. Putting oil soap on a sealed floor is like smearing butter on a glass window.
That is exactly what it's like. It cannot penetrate the barrier.
So it just makes a mess.
The oil just sits on top of the finish. It creates a heavy, sticky, low-friction film. And because it stays slightly tacky, it acts as an absolute magnet for atmospheric dust, pet hair, and microscopic dirt.
Ugh, so every time you walk across the room, you are just pressing a fresh layer of grime deep into that oil slick.
Exactly. You're building up layers of dirt-trapping wax.
So we have completely cleared the battlefield.
Boom.
No acetic acid, no ammonia, no pressurized steam, no standing water from string mops, and no oil soaps on plastic finishes.
We've ruled out almost everything under the sink.
Right. So what actually works? Let's transition to the proper arsenal and the fundamental physics of the moisture rule.
The physical tools you select are vastly more important than the liquid you put in them. For daily or weekly dry removal, the gold standard is a wide microfiber dust mop.
And if someone prefers the suction of a vacuum over a dust mop, they have to be incredibly careful about the mechanics of the vacuum head.
Yes, very careful.
Using a carpet vacuum on hardwood is deeply destructive because of the rotating beater bar. Those stiff nylon bristles are designed to aggressively agitate carpet fibers.
If you let a motorized brush roll spin at a few thousand RPM against a flat polyurethane surface, it acts like a high-speed orbital sander.
That sounds terrifying.
It is. It will pepper the finish with thousands of microscopic abrasions. You must ensure your vacuum has a dedicated bare floor setting, which either completely retracts the bristles or turns off the motor driving the brush roll, relying entirely on direct suction.
Once the dry debris is gone, we move to the damp mop. The recommended tool is a microfiber flat mop, but we need to look at why microfiber is so superior to traditional cotton string mops.
It comes down to the physics of the material. Traditional cotton fibers are large, round, and relatively smooth. They tend to just push dirt around like a bulldozer.
Whereas microfiber is different.
Very. Microfiber is made of synthetic polyesters and polyamides that is split during the manufacturing process.
If you look at a cross-section of a split microfiber under an electron microscope, it doesn't look round. It looks like an asterisk. It has dozens of sharp crevices and microscopic hooks.
Right. And those synthetic crevices create a positive static charge that actively attracts negatively charged dirt particles.
It relies on van der Waals forces intermolecular attraction to literally grab and hold microscopic grit within the fiber itself.
Exactly. You don't need heavy chemical surfactants to lift the dirt, because the physical geometry of the cloth is doing all the heavy lifting.
That's brilliant.
What's fascinating here is that because the mechanical action of the microfiber is so efficient, it requires minimal liquid.
Minimal liquid. That's key.
Yes. The water isn't there to wash the floor. It acts merely as a light lubricant to help the synthetic fibers glide across the finish without snagging.
Which leads to the most important technique in hardwood maintenance.
The bubble ring.
You saturate the microfiber pad, wring it out until it feels barely damp to the touch. And then you apply pressure and wring it out a second time.
Exactly. You want it practically dry.
So what does this all mean? It requires a total paradigm shift in how we view cleaning.
Yeah.
When dealing with sealed hardwood, water is a massive liability, not an asset.
That's a hard habit to break.
It is. You have to internalize the fact that you are not washing wood. You are gently wiping down a thin layer of plastic that happens to be sitting on top of wood.
That mental shift is everything. And to wipe that plastic efficiently without degrading it, you need a solution specifically engineered for polymers. Flooring contractors across Ontario consistently recommend Bona as the industry standard.
The chemistry of Bona is what makes it so effective, right? It's completely pH neutral.
Yes. Because it hovers right around a 7 on the pH scale, it contains no acids to micro-etch the clear coat and no strong bases to discolor the wood below.
Furthermore, it's formulated with non-ionic surfactants, meaning it doesn't leave behind positively or negatively charged residues that would attract dirt.
That's the secret. It's designed to flash off, meaning it evaporates incredibly rapidly, leaving the polyurethane visually clear.
You have the right microfiber tool, the absolute minimum amount of moisture, and a rapidly evaporating pH neutral cleaner.
But the execution of the clean is the final variable. And the absolute strictest rule of execution is that dry removal must happen first.
If you skip sweeping or vacuuming and jump straight to damp mopping, you're creating an abrasive slurry.
A very damaging slurry.
The ambient dust in a home isn't just soft lint. It contains microscopic particles of silica, which is basically sand.
And sand is significantly harder on the Mohs scale of hardness than polyurethane.
So if you trap silica under a damp mop pad and drag it across the room, you're physically keying the finish.
You are sandpapering your own floor. So you vacuum first, and crucially, you trace the architecture of the wood. You vacuum parallel to the grain.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah. This directional airflow pulls the fine debris out of the microscopic V grooves between the individual planks. If you vacuum across the grain, the wheels and suction just push the dirt deeper into those physical seams.
Then you take your double-rung microfiber flat mop, mist a tiny amount of the neutral cleaner, and wipe with the grain.
The goal is rapid evaporation. If you mop a section and it takes more than 60 seconds to dry on its own, you have applied too much liquid.
During a humid GTA summer where the indoor air is already saturated and evaporation rates plummet, setting up a floor fan pointing at your work area is a brilliant way to force that moisture into the air before it can settle into the seams.
This raises an important question, though, regarding a problem that plagues almost everyone at some point. Streaks. It is the most common complaint. People invest in the microfiber, they buy the neutral cleaner, they follow the grain, and they still end up with a floor that looks like a cloudy, smeared, refractive mess when the afternoon sun hits it.
It's so frustrating, but the physics of a streak is really just an optical illusion.
Exactly.
It's caused by an uneven thickness of a transparent residue on the surface of the floor. When ambient light hits that uneven film, the light scatters chaotically instead of reflecting straight back at your eye, which registers in our brain as a dull, cloudy streak.
And the cause of that residue is almost entirely self-inflicted by human psychology. We are deeply conditioned to believe that more product equals a deeper clean.
They chronically overdose the floor.
We spray too much cleaner, the water component flashes off and evaporates, and a heavy, concentrated layer of the surfactant is left behind to dry on the plastic finish.
But the fix for streaks is remarkably simple. It's essentially a chemical detox for your floor. You need to homogenize that surface layer.
First, try taking a completely dry, clean microfiber cloth and rigorously buffing the cloudy area.
Often, the static charge of the dry cloth will lift the excess residue.
If the buildup is severe, you cut through it using nothing but plain, very warm water on a barely damp mop. No cleaner, no soap.
The thermal energy of the warm water dilutes and dissolves the leftover chemical residue, allowing the microfiber to lift it away. You just wipe it with warm water and dry it instantly with a towel.
It is about subtraction, not addition.
Now, we cannot comprehensively discuss floor maintenance in this climate without addressing the ultimate winter menace.
Road salt.
Road salt. It's February, you step inside, and the entryway is coated in a chalky, aggressive white crust.
Road salt used in the GTA is typically a mix of sodium chloride and calcium chloride. From a chemical and physical standpoint, it is the absolute worst-case scenario for a floor.
Physically, the crystalline structure of salt is incredibly jagged and sharp. Walking on it instantly pierces the polyurethane.
But chemically, calcium chloride is intensely hygroscopic. It actively pulls moisture out of the air.
Wait, really? It pulls moisture down?
Yes. If you meet salt dust on your floor, it is literally drawing ambient humidity down onto the finish and holding it there, creating a localized, highly alkaline puddle that eats the polymer.
Which is why preventative architecture is your best defense. A heavy-duty, abrasive mat outside the door to capture the bulk of the snow, and a highly absorbent, rubber-backed mat immediately inside.
You must institute a strict, non-negotiable boot removal policy the millisecond you cross the threshold.
But inevitably, some salt tracks past the mat. When it dries into that white haze, our instinct is to attack it with heavy chemicals to dissolve it.
Which just exacerbates the chemical stress on the finish. The solution relies on basic chemistry.
Salt is highly soluble in water because of its ionic bonds, right?
Exactly. You simply dampen a clean microfiber cloth with plain warm water. The thermal energy of the water rapidly breaks down the ionic bonds of the salt crystals, dissolving them safely without requiring a secondary chemical reaction.
You wipe the area with incredibly light pressure so you don't grind the dissolving crystals into the clear coat, and then immediately dry the spot with a second towel to remove the moisture.
It constantly loops back to that foundational rule of absolute moisture control.
Plain warm water, gentle microfiber, immediate drying. Let's synthesize this down so you can immediately alter how you care for your space.
Sounds good.
First, map your battlefield. Diagnose your finish using the water bead test to understand if you are dealing with a polymer clear coat or porous oil-rubbed wood.
Second, ruthlessly audit your cleaning closet. Throw out the highly acidic vinegar mixtures, permanently banish the steam mop to the bathroom tiles, and reserve the heavy oil soaps for unsealed wood only.
Third, leverage the physics of microfiber. Embrace the double ring technique to utilize van der Waals forces instead of heavy liquids, and pair it with a rapidly evaporating pH-neutral cleaner.
Finally, when the harsh reality of a Toronto winter tracks calcium chloride into your hallway, fight the chemistry of the salt with nothing but plain, warm water and immediate drying.
Protecting your home and your time means internalizing the science of the materials, doing it correctly the first time, and avoiding those astronomically expensive, highly disruptive refinishing jobs down the road.
It really is about shifting your perspective to play the long game with your home's infrastructure. And I'd like to leave you with a completely different way to think about the space you inhabit.
Oh, I love this.
We've talked extensively about reacting to the environment, cleaning up the salt, managing the streaks, wiping up the water. But as smart home technology advances, we are entering an era where your house can proactively manage the health of its own materials.
How so?
Well, we are already seeing the integration of subfloor moisture sensors that communicate directly with a home's central HVAC system.
That's incredible.
Imagine a house that constantly monitors the cellular expansion of its own hardwood. When a humid July afternoon threatens to swell the floorboards, the house automatically triggers localized dehumidification before the wood even has a chance to cup.
So the floor ceases to be just a static building material.
Right. It instead becomes part of a cybernetic, self-regulating organism.
That is wild. Your floor communicating with your furnace to protect its own cellular structure. It transforms home maintenance from a reactive chore into an automated biological system. A fascinating glimpse into the future of how we will live with the materials around us.
It really is.
Until next time, keep those mops dry and those floors pristine.